Blog Talk Radio.
To the man of God of this hour to bring a word to encourage, uplift, and
and correct your people, God, and on the foundation of love. So, God, we stand ready, oh God, to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, oh God. And we thank you for this hour of encouragement and this hour of love in Jesus' name. And if you can hear my voice, somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Oh, glory to God. This is an awesome day. And as you can tell, I'm super excited on this Thursday, April 9th, 2015. I'm telling you, every guest that comes on TKD, amen, Global Radio and Broadcast is very special to me, very dear to my heart. But this man of God tonight is very dear to my heart. I am not going to take a whole lot of time, and I want him to introduce himself to you, Global Fam. Listen, you guys, I looked at the report last week. I am so grateful you guys are tuning in literally from around the world. I don't take that lightly, so I just give God all the praise, and amen, and I'm just grateful that you are being blessed by the word. I read your emails, glory to God. You can find me on Facebook at LaSandra Coleman, or just go ahead to TKD Global and Broadcast, our Facebook page. Leave your comment after the broadcast. Glory to God. If you've gotten something from the minister of the hour, glory to God. I want to hear from you, and I actually read those comments. So tonight, our speaker of the hour is going to be Pastor Fazel Colbreath. And I love this great man of God. Let me tell you why briefly before we bring him in. Amen. This man of God is the person, y'all better listen because most of you never heard me say this. This is the man of God that led me to Christ. Yes, I was, 21 years old. My husband was in the United States Navy, and we were in Eatontown, New Jersey. That's where he was stationed. You know, we had our two-year-old daughter, and then we had just had our first son, so our third one was not in the picture. And let me tell y'all something. I was so jacked up. When I said I was unsaved, I was unsaved attitude, you know, and all. I was one of those people, I used to make fun of the church folks. Glory to God. Matter of fact, when I was in my teen years, I used to go to the church and see who wig gonna fall off and who dancing crazy child. You know, I was no saved at all. Glory to God. I went to church because my grandmother made me to. But when I got 21, glory to God, my husband went out to sea for 6 months, and I tell you, it was 8 days. Oh, my God. And 8 is the number of new beginnings. 8 days after my husband had left and a friend of mine's, we went to a gym and we seen this young man come out and he was talking to her about church. And listen now, I was not saved. And I seen him walk to the car and I said, oh, Lord, who she done picked up in the gym? You know, he came to the car and my first thought was, oh, Lord, what do he want? You know, I mean, I'm telling you, I wasn't saved. You know, he came to the car and introduced himself. And I'm sitting there, you know, with attitude, like, what, And he started talking about the church, and I'm like, yeah, And so, you know, glory to God. But something about him, you know, even in that point of my life, something about him struck me. And when I tell you I was nowhere near saved, when I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. But there was just something different about this great man. I mean, he was in regular gym clothes, but even as a sinner, lost, there was something different about him that I've never encountered with any male, I must say. And if you're my family, you're on this line now. I love you, but I'm just being honest. At that point in my life, to make a long story short, he ministered to both the young lady that I was with. And let me tell you, less than 3 days, he and his beautiful wife, I mean, this woman, when you talk about the wife that the Bible describes in Proverbs 30:31, this young lady walks it out. And so him and his wife, and they end up taking us to church. And, you know, I had my two young children, and my friend, she had her two young children, and he would come over with his wife and pick my family up, you know, me and my two young children and my friend and her two young children. And he was like the big brother that I've never experienced, a good man of God, a trustworthy man of God, a man of God who expressed the love to his wife and his own children, known in the church by everyone as just, you know, big brother. And he always had this big smile on his face, and he always had a word ready, you know, just to encourage people. And as I think back, man, I mean, that was years ago. He was the first man, honestly, that I wrapped my arms around and hugged and felt like, wow, this is what big brotherly love feels like. And, you know, he was and still is my mentor. My husband came back off the six-month cruise, and 3 months later, my husband got to know him really good and gave his life to the Lord. And so I accredit, I know he's going to play it down, but I'm not. I accredit my faith walk and everything you guys know me to be at this point, because that day he came out that gym and talked to a very stubborn woman at that time. Glory to God. So let me just present to some and introduce to others a man of God whom I love, whom my husband loves, and whom my children love, Pastor Fazel Colbreath. Woo!
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh.
Well, bless you. Bless you. Bless you, Prophetess Coleman. I tell you what, my heart is deeply humbled, and I'm very appreciative of your comments. You and Dante just mean the world to us, you know. We have shared so many, I would say, memories going back when Mildred and I came down for the dedication
of
your children.
Yeah.
And I don't know how often Dante talk about this, but him and I have been playing phone tag, and this is one of the most special memories I have. And I didn't know it at the time, and he didn't know it at the time, but we were both traveling to Little Rock, Arkansas. And we landed, and was in the baggage area collecting our luggage. And I looked up at Dante. Dante looked up at me, and we could do nothing but laugh at one another. And Dante said to me, "Boy, you can't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor." And he said, if these brothers ain't going to talk to one another over the phone, I'm going to put them together where they have to speak in person. And, oh, my goodness, we connected. We just laughed and rode together to the hotel. And, I mean, just had a wonderful time and fellowship, short as it was, because we were working at two different destinations. And just going back to the day that we met at the gym, I always reflect on this because at that time we had started, shortly after we had started a Bible study. And Prophetess Coleman said this statement. I'm going to share with you in a second. And then I don't know when Dante and the other brother came back from being out to sea. Obviously,
sir.
Me and Dante started the fellowship and talking. And Dante made the exact same statement that his wife did. And the statement was this here: "How do you know the Bible is true? Man wrote it anyway." And I never argued the point. We never talked about the point. We just went into the Word. And as long as we had Bible studies, the Word of God proved out how we know that the Word of God is true. So, man, you guys mean so much to me, sis. I appreciate it so very much. And thank you for having me on as your guest. I consider it an honor, and I'm deeply humbled by this this opportunity to really share with the audience. And I appreciate it.
Amen.
Just to let you know a little bit about myself, my name is Fazel Colbreath. My wife and I and our two daughters reside here in Dayton, Ohio area, here in Kettering. And we've been married for 18 years, coming up this 27th of April, been 18 years, and just a wonderful woman of God. And I appreciate Prophetess Coleman sharing that with you. Yes, she is. She's the apple of my eye.
Amen.
She is the one that turns this neck, turns this head, and all that. I truly thank God.
Amen. Preach!
I truly thank God for her. She's been more of a blessing to me than I've been to her, but she is my wife. She is the wife of my youth, and I love her to death, as well as our daughter. So we all greet you. She's not online with us right now. I think she may be listening upstairs, but we greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus. And thank you for having us on tonight. I came to Christ in a unique place in Saudi Arabia in 1990. During the first Gulf War, the man of God that won me to God was Bishop Gary Ellis in Clarksville, Tennessee. Many of y'all may be familiar with the Fort Campbell area. He pastors the Abundant Life Outreach Center there at 119 Chapel Street in Clarksville. Telephone number, I'm joking, but there's a wonderful, tremendous man of God, and you can certainly find him online. I share down there, minister a lot. He has been my mentor. He has been my bishop. He has been my spiritual dad. And I tell you what, you don't find many in a relationship with God like this here. And I tell you what, him and his wife and his children are very special to me and the whole congregation there at the Abundant Life Outreach Center. My pastor is Pastor Joel Urson in Cincinnati, Ohio, where my wife and I fellowship at the First Apostolic Church. A tremendous and powerful man of God. You should Google him, look him up on YouTube. If you want to hear some encouraging, powerful preaching, I'm here to tell you right now, There's not a preacher like him on the planet. And I am emphasizing, just a wonderful man of God. And my ministry, I would say, or the ministry the Lord has blessed me to participate in, is really centered around evangelism and soul winning, home Bible studies, and discipleship. This is where I live. This is who I've always been. I'm not a glory seeker. I'm not a person that thrives to be in anybody's pulpit at all. I'm not a person that needs to be recognized or needs a pat on the back. You know, everybody needs encouragement every now and then, so that's not a total truthful statement, but I believe you get what I'm saying. But it's just a privilege to serve God, and that's where my heart is. My heart is just in serving God. Some time ago, and I hope Prophetess don't mind me sharing this, you know, I was really, I would say, straddling the fence on making a decision. And I was at a particular location, and I had received the word of God, a prophetic word, and Prophetess Coleman had shared with me. And she shared with me, I think it was on the phone or in person. I think we were at church or somewhere in New Jersey at the time. And then shortly thereafter, you and your husband had moved to Virginia Beach. I'll never forget that. What a sad day that was. But y'all had moved to Virginia Beach. And of course, looking back now, it's all about growth. You know, the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. So we know that God has a plan. And the important thing is for us to grow where we are planted. And then when it's time to blossom, God knows how to move those little petals where they need to be. But she had said to me prophetically how the Lord had ordered us in a different direction without going into too much detail. And I wrestled with that. And then I called one day. I don't know if you remember this, but I never forget it. I called one day, and I began to try to, in a roundabout way, solicit that word again. Are you sure this is what the Lord is saying?
I remember. You know, I remember that.
You remember that?
And, I sure do.
And like, I asked you to email it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
No, I was saying when you said that, it came back to me. I remember that phone call. I sure do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And you emailed it to me. And I tell you what, you learn to really trust people and trust what God is doing in their lives, you know. And I thank God for your walk. I thank God for where you are and how he has gifted you. And I thank God for your ministry and how you empower people. I'm so sorry that Mildred and I did not get a chance to get over to, I believe it was Indianapolis, you were here a few weeks ago.
Amen.
And even when you were in Dayton, I was in Tennessee at the time, but I love you and Dante.
We know
the
that.
Kids, mm-hmm. I tell you what, you guys just mean the world to us. What the Lord has laid on my heart tonight, I have been in prayer, and I had, you know, there are so many things, and just to share with the audience, there are times when you're influenced by your environment and the study of your word. There are times when study of God's word, there are times when you're influenced by your experiences, your goings and your comings, and then even certain conversations or certain messages may inspire you one way to really develop and to search truth out in a direction. And then there are times where you have an opportunity where you know what, Lord, I don't just want to be a guest on a radio show. I just don't want to be a person in a pulpit speaking anything. I want to have your heartbeat for this hour and for what you would have your people to hear and to receive. And I want to share with you just a thought tonight from Proverbs 23 and verse 23. And it's a familiar scripture, and the word of the Lord reads, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." And I would just like to share with you this thought, the integrity of truth. The integrity of truth. Truth is defined by Webster as a real fact or something that is true. It is also defined as a quality or state of being true, a statement that is true or accepted as being true. And I love this definition of truth, because one of my favorite Bible studies, and this is a Bible study that I shared with Prophetess Coleman and her husband, Brother Dante, some time ago, years ago, in fact, and oh my goodness, we oftentimes talk about the fellowship we used to have in the small group ministry and all that we had shared. Listen, if you've never done small group ministry, you don't know what you are missing. I'm here
That's
to tell you
true.
Right now. We had such an awesome time in God and prayer and fellowship.
Yes.
And Oh, my goodness. God was just so good to us. And,
yes,
and through that, one of the things that, that – go ahead, sis. I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead. I'm just agreeing with you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. One of the things that, that we had as a part of our small group were Bible studies. And there was a study that, that we had shared. It was entitled Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And it was one of the first studies that, that we had shared when we lived in New Jersey. Now, what's unique about this particular study? This study focuses on, it's two parts, part one. It focuses on the authority of the Word of God. How much authority does the Word of God have to tell me what to do? And the second part focuses on the importance of the Word. So this study is designed, constructed, and illustrated to the believer and to the seeker to prove to them that God's Word has an important part of our lives. Of every human being, saved or unsaved, believer or non-believer, it is truth. And check this out. Check this out. Lesson one alone, has 120 scriptures in it, proven to us that the authority of the Word of God is true, and also proven to us the importance of the Word of God. And lesson two will just blow your mind. But it has over, and I stopped counting at 170, but it has over 170 scriptures in it. Now, it's not like you form, and this is a truth that we all understand in the kingdom. If it's not, then it will be understood after this point. It's not like we pick a scripture out and we try to establish a doctrine or a principle based upon that one scripture without anything supporting it. So when it comes to the study, this study takes line upon line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little, to show us the truth of the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. Now, let me share with you something about truth that I feel the Holy Ghost right now.
Amen.
Truth is meant to be understood. It is meant to be understood.
Amen.
Second point,
Amen.
Truth doesn't need nor does it require our approval. Glory.
My mind.
Truth does not sit on a legislate and ask you to vote on me. Please give you my opinion, your opinion of me. Truth does not do that. Third, disobeying truth has a consequence beyond this reality into the next, and you're going to see that in these 3 points. The last two is this here. The trials that we face in life are more tolerable if we trust truth. And I believe all of us has ever had a rainy day, that has ever had a dark cloud in our lives, understand that. And fifth, truth is only hid to those that will not receive it and will not believe it. And Paul said that the enemy, the god of this world, small g, has blinded the minds of them, lest they believe not. So truth is only hid to those that don't believe. Truth is not an assertion or an idea. Truth is a person, high glory, and the person's name is Jesus. Now, when we look at the Word of God and begin to try to, break down or discover truth, if we don't start with Jesus, we're missing a very important point. Because truth is a person. Now, there are principles, there are doctrines, there are truths that are established through the Word of God. But to put it all in a nutshell, truth is a person, and that person is Jesus. This is what the Word of the Lord said, and we know this. Jesus said himself, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So first point is this right here. First point is truth is meant to be understood. Now, when we look at our lives, and certainly as believers, and we're under spiritual authority, we have pastors, we have bishops, we have spiritual leaders. And it's something to be said about those that pastor, especially in this hour, and the challenges they face.
Mm-hmm.
But truth is meant to be understood, and this is why. In Genesis 8 and 22, it says this. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not, notice this here, it shall not cease, okay? So there's always going to be a natural time of sowing, of seed time. There's always a natural time of harvest. There's always a natural time of cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night. In the natural, there's always that. There will always be a natural time as well as a spiritual time of harvest and of seed time. Now, what's so important about this is that as we continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ and grow in his grace, we have to understand that when the word of God comes to us, as it is preached, as it is taught, as it is ministered, as it is shared, there is a season that we are in at that time. And as we are receiving the word of God, the word of God has an intent as it goes forth. Now, concerning the principle, this is what Jesus said. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now I want to testify. This is important to realize, because one of the hang-ups that we have as believers is not really, I would say, centered on the family concept, because I believe we understand that one man is supposed to marry one wife. I believe that we understand that. It's not really centered on our church attendance, although people still wrestle with that. So I would say the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I believe that's a truth that we understand. But one of the things that I think that I think that I would say midtermers, if there was such a case, how do you measure eternity or your growth in God? But at some point, every believer has wrestled with finances. I really wish I could hear your audience now, because all of them would be nodding their head. Yep, you're right. Or saying something.
And I'm sure they are. All their mics up, but I'm sure they are.
And this
Amen.
Is why we have all lived there.
Amen.
We have all lived and struggled with our finances and our financial contributions.
Amen.
And I'm an innocent-minded person when it comes to finances. Now, this is something I grew into. I wasn't born with this, mind you, especially from the projects of Springfield, Ohio. There was no concept of sowing and reaping and giving as a child, as much as we struggled. I was like Prophet Coleman, you know. I went to church just to see who's with me. No, I'm joking. My mom made me go to the house of God. That was without question. But when I came to God, I struggled with finance. Now I happened to be in a church audience one time, and I had, you know, I was kind of embarrassed, to be honest with you. I'm a grown man in my 20s, and an offering was taken, and I couldn't even muster $50 together that time to give an offering. And I asked the Lord. I said, I want to be in a position to just sow $50 in a church offering.
Yes.
And shortly thereafter, let me tell you something. Things begin to work out, and the Lord blessed me to sow $50. I was happy. I was so happy. I'm telling you, it wasn't even funny. Because I was able to give.
Amen.
Now, listen,
we
thing grew.
Amen.
Shortly thereafter, I was in the audience, and once again, a $100 offering was taken up. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I don't even have $100 to stick together. So I began to just, you know, once again, Lord, I want to be in a position to allow me to give $100. And shortly thereafter, the Lord opened up our finances, and I was in position to give $100.
Wow. Wow.
Now, when I came from Korea, I want to show you how this thing just grew. When I came from Korea, we were stationed in Fort Myers, New Jersey. We went to First Apostolic Church there in North Brunswick, New Jersey, now known as New Destiny, with a pastor by Bishop Calvin Inlow. And it was maybe shortly around our first service there, something like that, and we were in a building program. And they were taking up an offering. And I looked at my wife and I said, let's give $500.
My.
And it was like, and it was like the Lord had already spoke to her concerning that. And as she looked at me, we were like finally in agreement. And when that check was written, we didn't even question it. We were able to give.
Wow.
Now watch this. Shortly thereafter, we're about to relocate here to Ohio. The Lord enlarged our finances. Ooh, glory to God. All about the glory of God. This is not about me nor my wife. And we were in a position to sow a seed of $5,000. Watch me now.
Wow.
Before we left. Listen, never expecting to receive anything else. Never expecting, you know, anything but the promises of God to be yea and amen in our lives.
Wow.
So we moved here, to Dayton, Ohio, the Kettering area, southwest Dayton, so to speak. And we were riding around. We lived in an apartment over here. We were riding around, and we looked at this community we were riding through. We said, it sure would be nice to live over there.
My God, you gave God a challenge.
Oh, you better believe it. And listen, 9 months later. We were breaking ground. Ooh,
wow,
God,
look
God,
at my
God. God, I thank you. listen, God, I thank you. Because when we are challenged
Jesus.
Like that, this is what happens. Your faith goes through a cycle. And that cycle has to be proved by the word of God. And when you trust God at his word, God will open up to you good measure,
pressed down.
Glory, shaken together, running over, will men give back unto you. So we can challenge God on something, but I'm here to tell you right now, we will never outgive God.
Come on. Oh, my God. And look at the transition.
I'm stuck here for just a second, so I got to share this.
Go ahead. Take your time. Wow.
Glory. So listen, back in April, I'm a retired vet, disabled vet. And so I had an appointment at Disabled Veterans Services in Cincinnati, Ohio. And the counselor, Linda Mingo, just happened to discover an error on my transition physical.
Amen.
Which I was not awarded a separation allotment, so to speak, connected to that illness that I did not come into the military with. So she found it, and she said, "Did you know they said you came into the military with this heart condition?" And I said, "I did not come into the military with a heart condition." He said, "Did you sign a waiver when you came in?" I said, "Absolutely not. I was a perfect specimen of health."
Amen.
At 18 years old. And so she was able to go back and pull up a physical I had taken from 1982 and realize that they made a mistake when I was transitioning out the military.
Okay, now, wow.
She says, "Well, we're going to argue this, and we're going to see if we can get them to award you this." Now, that was in April last year. In August of last year, she called me up and I had another appointment, and she jumped back from her desk and clapped her hands and said, "We won." I said, "We won what?" She says, "We won our argument, and they have agreed to award you this allotment." And she says, "They made it retroactive all the way back to 2001.
Woo, Jesus!
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
We're upstairs. My wife and I, oh, Lord, my wife and I are upstairs, and she comes to me with her cell phone and shows me our bank account. And I didn't have my glasses on at the time, and I was kind of struggling. And I said, is that a 2 and an 8 behind the comma? Or in front of the comma?
My God, look at God.
And they had deposited, over $28,000 because of a mistake that was detected by a disabled veterans counselor that dated all the way back to 2001. Now, I'm here to tell you right now, there is nothing that God will not do for his people.
Jesus! My.
Glory.
Wow, that is who you just...
And we're going...
Keep going. No, no, keep going. I am so in tune right now. Keep going.
Oh, my. So, listen, we have to understand that what we struggle with in the kingdom when it comes to giving to the house of God. When we have that struggle, let me say this. We are depriving ourselves. We are depriving our families. We're missing out on seeing the kingdom of God expanded financially. We're missing out on our own finances being enlarged when we continue to wrestle with those kind of cycles with our faith when it comes to giving.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. I ain't done.
Oh, Lord, let me get back in the chair. Woo! I'm holding on. I am holding on, Fazel. I'm holding on now.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks
yes,
ago,
sir.
I was taking a car and we were about to go to Texas to visit my wife's family during my daughter's spring break. And so I'm taking my car and to get detailed, and the senior mechanic there at the repair shop asked me, at the Buick dealership, asked me, he said, Fazel, did you pay for your transmission? I had to put the transmission in. And I said, well, I don't remember if we paid for it or if it was warranty work. And he says, well, I think you paid for it. I said, I think we paid for it, too. And I said, why? He said, well, we're going to try to get you some money back. Was his statement, some money back. And he said, I need you to go get your invoice, and I need you to bring your registration in. And so I told Mildred about it, my wife about it. She says, well, how much did they say? I said,
well,
I said if they give us $50, it's more than what we have right now.
Jesus.
So I said, well, let me just call him. I went to pick up the car. Let me ask him. I went to pick up the car after it was detailed. And I asked him, well, how much is it? And the guy that detailed was there with him, too. He said, all of it. I said, all of it. He said, all of it.
$5,042. Ah,
glory to God. Listen, it was unsolicited. I didn't ask for it. But somehow or another, that senior mechanic saw something. This is exactly what happened. He saw something that came down from Buick Corporation, and he thought of me. And when he thought of me, I brought the registration in, I bought the invoice in, and I just walked away yesterday. I went back out there. The check just came in, and I went out there yesterday, picked up the check, and deposited it into our bank account. Do you hear what I'm telling you?
Are you telling me, whoo, Jesus, the favor of God moves on your behalf, that the hand of God moved on the carpet, that the blessing will fall upon you in that moment.
Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Amen.
I am listening to you,
yes,
and I am I'm listening how God has orchestrated, that's the word that's coming to me, how he orchestrated your blessings to flow because of your obedience in sowing. Amen. In the meantime, glory to God. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
You gave us the obedience, and your currency was a financial overflow over and over. Now, that's overflow. When it's done over and over and over. Glory
yes, ma'am.
To God.
Yes, ma'am.
Woo, listen. Go ahead and put your hands up right now and say, God bless him because I'm next. Somebody need to scream right now. I know your mic's off.
Glory.
Be your liberty. God, I thank you. I praise you for the blessing that has rested upon this man of God. And somebody need to scream. Go ahead and scare the cat and the dog and say, I'm next. Hallelujah.
I'm next.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory
wow. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
I can't rock that.
Glory to God.
The reason your testimony really touches. The reason it touches me because here's why you touch me more than most people, because I was there when you was opening your home to those cell groups and you let everybody in, and somehow you fed all of us and all our children. I was there, glory to God, when I saw you and your wife make things happen, glory to God, and God had me pray certain things for you. I was there, and I've never heard you complain about anything. I was there, and you've always put your family first and treated your wife like a queen and been a great father to your children, and you have always served faithfully, amen, in the body of Christ to the church. But what I love about you most, you are that one who always went to the streets and the folks somebody wanted to touch. So to hear how God has blessed you in this season, I'm telling you, my soul is blessed. My soul is blessed. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Woo, and I just hear God saying, not the cliche, the bet is yet to come, is bet to come. I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me to tell you, my brother, more is yet to come. Even more. Oh, God said, thank you, Holy Spirit. God said, more is yet to pour. That is your portion. More is yet to pour. Hallelujah. More is yet to pour. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me tell you, I'm a prophet, so I speak whatever the Lord said. Some folks, and let me just say this. You and I have not talked before this broadcast. I hear this by the Spirit of the Lord. Some folks going to have to get it right who have put their mouth on you because they did not know who you were in the kingdom. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. They don't have to get it right with the Lord. They did not know who they was talking about. Glory to God. They did not really see the anointing that set upon your life. The Lord said, even more shall pour because of your obedience and your humbleness. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. You have messed me up for tonight. Oh, glory. Wow. Who giving works, audience? Giving works from Africa to Brazil. Giving works Australia and the United States.
That's
giving works. Oh, my God. And this man of God just told us how he gave without looking back, without talking about it. He just heard the Lord and he gave. Release, gave, release, gave. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Whew. Lord, let me pull it together. I'm going to try to pull it together. You done messed me up. I'm going to try my best to pull it together. Oh, Jesus, the favor of the Lord.
We are rejoicing together.
Amen. The favor of the Lord rests upon your family. Before we get out here tonight, I want you to do two things for me. I just want you to leave some encouraging words, and then I just want you to pray however the Lord lead you over these global listeners. Glory to God. Glory
Amen.
To
Thank
God.
Thank you, Prophet Coleman.
Glory to God.
To be a
Thank
blessing
you.
To be a blessing is
Thank
the greatest,
you.
The greatest privilege that I feel that we have been bestowed upon us as a people, as a people, a body of believers, is the ability to be a blessing. And I think that the one scripture that sticks out to me that comes to mind is in 2 Corinthians 9:9-6. And I have this written in the Amplified Version, so let me share with you from that. But this is what the Word of the Lord says in the Amplified Version. It says, remember this.
Remember this.
He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. Now, that scripture, just in its translation, it says to me two things. It's all about opportunity, and it's all about attitude. And it says this, and he who sows generously, that blessing may come to someone. This is what it says. That blessing may come to someone. Will also reap generously and with blessing. Will also reap generously with blessing. I say to the body, that this principle is more than just our monetary giving. This principle is more than just material.
Yes.
Because one definition of that word sow, it means to scatter. It means to scatter in an abundance as we are sowing seed, the principle they are giving. So as you are sowing, just like prophetess, the reason that prophetess Coleman has, and I say this, has elevated and accelerated the rate that she has is because she has sown much seed in herself, and her family, in her walk with God, and the knowledge of God's word. Listen, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this discreetly. I remember a testimony that when God first began to use you prophetically, and there was a sister that was in our small group, a sister that went to church with us, but a sister that was not being faithful. And this sister was on the phone in her house when you walked in the door. And when you walked in the door, you were able to speak to her and caution her in detail about the phone call she just received, about the conversation she had with the other person on the phone, and you were able to preserve this sister's life, whom later God filled with the Holy Ghost, and we baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus.
Glory to God.
Now, you didn't wait on that gift to be affirmed by anyone. You didn't wait on some sort of endorsement. You walked in the ways of God. You trusted what the Lord was showing you. And God just began to open up pathways to you. And the reason I'm here today with your international audience is because you sowed, and you sowed generously. And there are those that are ministering right now. There are pastors, teachers, there are leaders, there are apostles, there are bishops, there are evangelists that are on this conference tonight. They're online tonight. They're listening to this broadcast tonight. And you're wrestling with what you are sowing. You're wrestling with if it's making a difference or not. You're wrestling with when will I see the dividend. Let me tell you something, man and woman of God. Continue to sow. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Continue to sow. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
I thank you, Lord. For this great gathering of your people. I thank you, Lord, for those that are serving, those that are growing, those, Father, that are designed to be a blessing. Those, oh Lord God, that are giving their very best, Father, and you're providing for them opportunities, oh God, to even give more and to do more. I thank you right now, Father, for every door that you're opening for them. I thank you for the blessings that they are. I thank you for the blessings that they will be. And I thank you for the encouragement, Father, the words of encouragement, the acts of encouragement, Father, and how they're going to be able to stabilize people that are struggling in their walk, and to be a blessing.
Yes.
I'm asking now, Lord. God, that you will pour out your Spirit, Father, today. On every continent, Father, that is, Lord God, tuned in. Pour out your Spirit today, Father, on believers all across the planet, Father. That in this hour of trying and in this hour of testing, Father, that we continue, Father, to be faithful in scattering the seeds of the gospel, that thy kingdom may be expanded. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Wow, my God, my God. In Jesus' name. Listen, global listeners, I want to thank you all for tuning in, and I definitely want to thank this great man of God. I do not take it lightly. You guys don't often hear me being messed up on the air, but, you know, I love this man of God. My husband loved this man of God. And Pastor Fazio, I thank you for ministering from your heart. I knew that's why when I talked to you earlier, I said just minister whatever God has given to you. And I know a lot of folks won't do that because they don't understand that we have men and women of God who hear from the Lord. You have blessed this global audience. Amen. And listen, I'm going to do you guys a favor that's listening. Usually I take the broadcast down after 24 hours. I'm going to leave this one up. Here is why. I want you to listen to this broadcast again tomorrow in your office, on your iPhone or whatever phone you have, and share it with someone because you just heard how sowing into the kingdom and sowing without looking back and sowing abundantly, how God will turn things around for your entire life. Glory to God, and I thank you. Fazel, we're going to have you back on this show, amen, because you have truly been a blessing until tonight, and I pray that God continue to pour the blessings into your life. Listen, you have tuned in to TKD, Global Radio and Broadcast. Do what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you. Eat the Word of God on a daily basis because He walked this Word precept upon precept, amen. He fed us from the abundance and the fulfillment from the Word of God, and there is no way around it. So glory to God. Whatever you need God to do, He's able to do it. Don't give up and don't give out, glory to God, because He will turn it. And your season and your best is yet to come. Have a great night in the name of Jesus. This is your co-host, TKD Global, and I'll talk to you on Monday. Bye-bye. Because